when I decided to, when we talk about doing the gospel, it didn't take long for me to get to this passage here in John's gospel. John chapter 9 is it's kind of my go-to place to preach a gospel message on short notice. There's a couple of passages that I immediately think of. John 5 is one of them, and John 9 is another one. The two passages that just, and they're very similar passages. They kind of link together. They kind of mirror each other in many ways, but we won't get into all of that. John's gospel, as a gospel, as you read through John's gospel, when you get to the end of John's gospel, John chapter 20, he gives us this statement about why John wrote the gospel, why he's recorded these particular miracles. There's seven miracles in total. We'll say seven, but there's seven miracles in total. And at the end of John's gospel, in John chapter 20, verse 30 and 31, he makes the statement: many other signs did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, but that are not recorded here in John's gospel. But these ones that are recorded for the purpose that we may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and believing we might have life in his name. So John gives us the reason why these signs were particularly chosen. Jesus Christ, as you did many gospels, did many signs, as you read through the other gospels, there are many other signs, many other miracles the Lord Jesus Christ did. Sometimes it just says that he healed a lot of sick. And Jesus Christ did a lot of miracles. But these particular miracles here in John's gospel are recorded for a particular purpose, so that we may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and believing we may have life in his name. So as you read the transcript or the recording of this miracle, from the eyewitness recording of this miracle, we need to keep that in mind. What is he trying to show us? What is John actually writing about? What is the actual purpose of this particular miracle? If you notice as well, in John's gospel, is that Jesus makes seven I am statements. All the way through John's gospel, he's claiming this I am. And I am is a title of deity. Jesus Christ is claiming the name of God. Yeah. So he says, I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the door. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And I am the true vine. There are these statements that the Lord makes. I am, I am, I am. And as he makes these statements, you'll remember right back in the book of Exodus, Moses stands before the burning bush. And at the burning, he says, what's your name? Who are you? Who are you? Give me your name. And God himself calls himself this name, I am. And that's where this title comes from. That this is God himself. So when Jesus Christ makes these statements, I am, he's claiming deity for himself. It's a title that he's applying to himself. We need to keep that in mind as we read this passage, because in this passage, that same title is recorded. He says, I am the light of the world. And it's one of these statements that the Lord makes. Right. So we're going to read this passage. I might start actually in John chapter 8, just the end part of John chapter 8, just to get a bit of context. And then we'll maybe just read just a couple of verses. I think I'm only going to get to verse 7 in chapter 9. So we start in John chapter 8. Jesus is discussing with the Jews, and they're arguing with him. And they're not happy, and they're getting offended at what he's saying. So John chapter 8. Maybe start at verse, we'll read verse 53, yeah? Start with just one verse here, 53. These Jews are questioning him, maybe verse 52. Then said the Jews unto him, now we know that thou hast the devil. Abraham is dead, and the prophets, and thou sayest, if a man keep my saying, he will never taste of death. Art thou greater than our father Abraham, which is dead, and the prophets are dead? Who makest thou thyself? Just go down to verse 56. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Then said the Jews unto him, thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Then took they up stones to cast at him. But Jesus hid himself, went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a blind man, which was blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, Neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground, made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with clay, and said unto him, Go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. And he went his way, therefore, and washed, and came seeing. Let's go down to verse 27. And he answered and said, Whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. And we'll just read that far. We'll start right at the beginning of our text, and I'll see if I can paint a picture. And at the end, we'll see if we can unravel what's going on, and see if we can get some practical applications for it. At the end of chapter 8, Jesus makes this great statement. He's arguing with the Jewish people, as I said, discussing with them. They are very anti him. They're calling, they say that he has a devil in them. He's saying that they are the sons of the devil, like their father, the devil. There's a big discussion going on, and Jesus Christ makes, they ask him, are you greater than Abraham? Who is more important in our nation than Abraham? Abraham is the father of our nation. Are you greater than him? Are you bigger than him? And Jesus Christ makes this statement, before Abraham was, I am. And he claims again this title of deity. And these Jewish people recognize what he's saying. And for a man to be claiming God, they pick up stones and they're ready to stone him. This is blasphemy. If Jesus Christ is a man claiming to be God, if he is not who he says he is, it's blasphemy. This is worthy of death. So they take up these stones and they go to stone Jesus Christ. They want to stone Jesus Christ. And there's this interesting statement at the end there in verse 50. They take up stones to cast him, but Jesus hid himself from them. Now that's quite an interesting statement, isn't it? And there's this picture in our mind. I think what we've got here is this kind of play on words. If Jesus really is the Son of God, God incarnate in the flesh, the I Am, the one who stands creator, potentate of time, master of all, why is he hiding it? He doesn't need to hide himself. And we have this picture, maybe he's not, I don't think he's hiding in the sense that he's cowering in a corner so that people can't catch him. He's not running so that and dodging and going inside the crowd like trying to get away from people. That's not the idea here. What the actual idea of hiding here is that Jesus Christ has hid himself from them. They are unable to see him. The one that they hate, the one that they are chasing, the one that they are after is right in front of them, but their eyes are blind to him. And he is hid. He's hid himself from them. And in that sense, they do not recognize him. They do not see him. He is hidden from them. They don't recognize him, first of all, in the spiritual sense, that he is actually the I Am, the God of the universe, the King of glory. In that sense, they don't see him, but they physically don't see him either. They can't recognize him for who he actually is. But then we read verse 50 and verse 1 of chapter 9, we have this great continuation of a thought. So he's hidden from these men that are actively looking to kill him and stone him, but as he passes by, he sees someone. And he sees a blind man. And the idea is that he sees a man who physically cannot see him. And that's the play on words. So there's this man sitting there on the side of the road, just outside the temple, who cannot physically see him. The same as these men inside the temple who spiritually cannot see him and do not recognize him for who he is. And he hides himself from them. So he's passing by and he recognizes. So of all the people, I think there's that spiritual need that Jesus Christ recognizes. He is still able to see people in their need. And he sees this man in his need. And it says this man was born blind. That's a terrible thing to have happened, isn't it? Being born blind. This man had this condition. He was stuck in it. It wasn't fair. If you're born blind, man, that's terrible. It's not a fair condition, but it is what it is. He was not born, he was not blind because he chose to be blind. He was not blind because his parents had done anything wrong. He was blind because he was blind. And Jesus actually gives the reason for it is that that God would be glorified in what was about to happen. That was the reason. And the Lord stands in front of this man. He sees, I don't know what must be happening in the background. I try to picture these scenes often. Yeah. So these guys are running around with stones looking for the Lord. And the Lord stands in front of this man. Yeah, it must be pretty close vicinity. Yeah, because he just passes out before them, passes away before them. Comes outside the front of the temple, maybe. These guys are still looking for him. He sees this blind man, and he says unto this blind man, at the end of the story, discusses with his disciples, makes the statement, I am the light of the world. And if you try to picture the scene, there's this blind man, and he no doubt hears this conversation that's near enough to be heard. And he hears, all he can do is hear the Lord Jesus Christ. He can't see Jesus Christ. He hears the word, the end of that statement, I am the light of the world. He can't see, he has no, picture a blind man, he has no perception even of what light is. What does it mean, light of the world? What does light even mean to a blind man? He's never experienced it, he has no. If you think about a blind person, you sometimes close your eyes and say, well, that's what blind people see. I don't think blind people see black. I don't think blind people see anything. There's no faculty for sight. There's no perception at all. Yeah? You close your eyes and you see that, and you see the darkness, that's still seeing something. You see darkness. Blind people don't have the facility to see that. There's no perception of it. And this man is standing in front of this blind man and says, I am the light of the world. The man does not even know what light is. The problem is that he cannot see light. That's what makes him blind. Yeah? And even I'm getting a bit philosophical now. But how would you describe that to a blind man? How would you describe light and color to a blind man? What would you liken it to? This man has no perception of what is actually going on. All he can do is hear the word of God. Interesting, isn't it? All he does is hear the word of God. Yeah? And he cannot see light. He hears this man say, I am the light of the world. The Lord spits in the sand, in the dirt, makes clay with the spit, and puts it on his eyes. Weird. It is odd, isn't it, that he makes spit and puts it in his eyes. And I've got this note here, I think, and I wrote it down this afternoon, but he's known the Lord for 5 seconds. The 5 seconds, he's known the Lord Jesus Christ. Now he's irritated. There's irritation. He's got sand in his eyes. Yeah? And he had his life was fine up until that point, wasn't it? He had a routine. Wake up in the morning, I don't know what it was, maybe eat a grapefruit or whatever they ate in those days. Get up and have something to eat. And, yeah, go led to the temple corner, stand there and beg and, you know, get a couple of coins or something. At the end of the day, his friend would come and collect him. They'd go to the market, buy some meal for the day, and they'd go home and they would eat. And he'd repeat the thing, and it was a routine. The man had come to be comfortable with his disability, with the problems that he faced. His life was difficult, but he had gotten into routine. Every day he had something to do. He knew what the day was going to bring. It was a hard life. It wasn't pleasant. He knew. He was obviously acutely aware of it. Even trying to explain to a blind man, he doesn't know what light is, but he knows that he's not the same. He knows deep down inside him, he doesn't really know what actually is wrong, what he's missing, but he just knows that he's not the same as everybody else. He's not complete. There's something missing in him. But he's gotten used to it. And he's worked around it. He's not perfect. He's got a bit lumpy and it's a bit difficult. But his life is okay. He's able to get by. And he's got his routine. And he's happy enough with it. and everything is going okay. He's learned to cope with the problems that he has. What else are you going to do? And this man, the Lord Jesus Christ, stood in front of him, says, I am the light of the world. Take some dirt and puts it in his eyes. I don't know, have you ever had dirt in your eye? You ever had dirt in your eye? I've had a speck in my eye, and it's pretty annoying. It's irritating. It's an irritant. And it's gritty. And it's not fun. Yeah. And it's uncomfortable. Puts the dirt in his eye and says, go to the pool of Shiloh and go and wash it out there. Go wash it out. And the pool of Shiloh is far. I don't know if you've got a map, but it's not close. It's pretty far. And there's this blind man with this irritant in his eye, and he's walking through town. He's clamoring around, feeling the walls, trying to find this pool of Shiloh. There are a lot of other water sources that are closer. Yeah? A lot of water sources that are closer. There are pools that are closer. There's no doubt jugs of water that are at hand, that are in people's houses. He could go into any of them and ask for water. He could wash this irritant out of his ears, out of his eyes, and everything would be fine. But he's clamoring through town now. He's going from wall to wall, finding his way, trying to ask for directions to find this place, the Pool of Shiloh. And no doubt, as people see him, I've often wondered how many people along the way stopped him, well-meaning, full of kindness. Hey, my friend, I can see you're battling. You're blind. You've got grit in your eyes. Why don't you come in here and I'll wash that out for you? And they think they're doing the best thing. They think they're doing right. They're helping this man. He's clearly uncomfortable. He's clearly not happy. He's a blind man clamoring around without water to wash it out. I've got water in my house. Here's the water right here. I'll wash that out for you. No problem at all. How many people there? How many people saw what happened and said, that is, what kind of horrible man would put dirt in your eyes and tell you to go all the way to Shiloh to wash it out? Why don't you wash it out somewhere closer? What a horrible guy. To give you this instruction, that's not right. That's not nice. Why don't you do this? And with the best of intentions, they could rob this man of his healing. You know, his biggest problem in that moment was the dirt in his eyes. Yeah? That was the thing that was causing him the most discomfort at that time. I said it was his biggest problem. It's not his biggest problem. The problem that was causing him the most discomfort was the dirt in his eyes. His bigger problem, the bigger problem that he had, was the fact that he was blind. And that is what Jesus Christ was out to fix. That was what Jesus Christ was offering him a solution for. All of the other solutions would have been temporary. They would have dealt with the irritant now. He staggers through town, gets to this pool, and you can imagine the happiness when he gets there, can't you? Yeah? Is this the pool of Shiloh? He must have asked somebody. And I was like, yes. Are you sure? Yes. I don't know if he fell down on his knees and just buried his face in it. Yeah, just washed it all out. And you can imagine the joy in this man's heart that for the first time in his life he could actually see him. And his life was never the same. Never the same. You know, the beginning of John's Gospel makes this interesting statement, and this idea of light goes right away through John's Gospel. The Christians out there, it's worth reading. Yeah, the beginning of John's Gospel makes the statement that talking about Jesus Christ, that the light Jesus Christ shines in the darkness, and the darkness does not comprehend it. The darkness cannot perceive it. The Son of God came into this world, and the darkness couldn't perceive it. Can't comprehend it. Every single man, woman, every single child born into this world, every single human being on this planet is born blind. All of us. Born spiritually blind. Most people, the Lord Jesus Christ is hidden. If you go downtown, I hand out tracts sometimes in town, and sometimes they're not friendly, and sometimes they don't want to know. But as soon as you say this is about Jesus, so many people are like, no, I don't want that. I don't want that. And people, if you look on the internet and you look at the world at large, they are quite happy to take up stones and eradicate the name of Jesus Christ everywhere. No problem at all. And Jesus Christ, who he is hidden from most people. But, dear friend, if you are hearing the gospel today, this could be the day that you are hearing those words, I am the light of the world. It could be the only time that you hear these words. These are the words you're hearing. And Jesus Christ is talking to you today. I am the light of the world. The words of Jesus Christ are not comfortable if you're unsaved, are they? You know, the Bible tells us that we are sinners, that we are born in sin, that we are shapen in iniquity, and if we do not accept Jesus Christ as our Savior, we are going to a lost eternity. All have sinned. Every single one of us are under the judgment of God. John's Gospel tells us there is now no more condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. No, that's not right. Jesus Christ came not, the Son came not into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Whoever believes on the Lord Jesus Christ, whoever believes on the Son is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already. Every single one of us stands under the wrath of God from the day we were born into this world. Not fair, is it? Just like this blind man. We had no say in it, and we didn't choose it. But those are the facts nonetheless. Every single one of us are born spiritually blind. And the words of Jesus Christ are an irritant, aren't they? They weigh on your heart. And tonight when you're listening to this message, or as you're even on the internet, as you're listening to this, the words of the Lord Jesus Christ might be weighing on your heart and convicting you and making you feel uncomfortable. But you have a choice, my friend. You have a choice to make. Are you going to throw out and just solve the irritation? Or are you going to actually obey the Lord? You know, you take it to your friends, don't you, sometimes? You discuss these things with your friends. Oh, I feel like I'm a sinner. I don't feel like I'm good enough. Hey, and your friends, well-meaning as they might be, why don't you come in here and here have a drink? Oh, here, let's go out somewhere. Let's take your mind off of that. And we'll remove this irritant. We'll remove the conviction of the Word of God. Well-meaning as they are, not knowing they are robbing you of the light. Dear friend, don't stop. Obey the Word of God. What does Jesus Christ say in John chapter 3? Yeah, you must be born again. That's the call. Every single one of us needs to be born again. Something needs to be done with our sin. We need to obey the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, this man, this blind man, he could have gone and washed the irritant out of his eyes. And he'd have carried on and he would have lived a normal life. He could have gone right back to his normal routine. Wake up in the morning, have your breakfast, go beg outside the temple, take your money, go buy some dinner, you do the same thing again tomorrow, and you would never have known what he's missing. Dear friend, your life can be like that. The same thing can happen if you do not obey the words of God. You need to accept Jesus as your Savior. You can carry on. You might not understand what he's talking about. When I tell you that the Lord Jesus Christ changed my life, there are people in this room who tell you that Jesus Christ changed their life. You might not understand what they're talking about. You might not have the perception to understand what has actually been said. But I tell you now, if you really are honest with yourself, you know that in your heart of hearts something is not right. You know that there is something missing in your life. Dear friends, I'm here to tell you, there are people in this room who will tell you, that verse 25 is true for me. There was a time in my life when I was blind, but now I see you. There was a time in my life when I had no perception of spiritual things, but through Jesus Christ, I see you. Dear friends, a great transaction took place on the cross of Calvary. The Son of God entered into the scene of time. And he walked the scene of time, and he did miracles to prove that he is the Son of God, and he went to the cross of Calvary. And that sin, that conviction that you have, that you are not right with God, he went and he paid the penalty for that. The Bible says that without a remission of sin, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. That unless you actually accept Jesus Christ, that sacrifice that he made on the cross of Calvary, you are going to a lost eternity. And if you're feeling uncomfortable, I hope so, because you'll know that it's right. And you can deal with that irritant. You can go wash it out right now with anything in the world. But I tell you something, you will remain blind. And you will die a blind man, never having perceived what you are missing. And my friend, then you will stand before God. And then you will regret it. You know, this blind man had one chance. And there was one place to go. There was only one pool. Loads of pools around, but only one would save him. Now, Jesus Christ makes that spectacular statement in John chapter 14. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. One way. He's not saying that if you follow him, he'll show you the way. He's not saying if you listen to me, I'll tell you the truth. He's not saying if you live this way, you'll live life. He's actually claiming to be the embodiment of the way. You have to go to him. That is the way. Yeah? You can't just follow his teachings. You actually have to go to him. You cannot perceive truth without him. He is the measurement of truth. If you want to know truth, look at Jesus Christ. And if you want life, he is the life. The light of every man that comes into the world. That's another conversation anyway. Yeah? But it's a wonderful thing, my friend, what Jesus Christ is actually offering you. And if you miss it, you will miss it. And my prayer for you today is that you will be able to stand with me and say, wherefore I was blind, but now I can see. Let today be a day of decision for you. I've said this many times. This night will either be a night that you remember where Jesus Christ came into your life and changed it. Yeah, and you stand in heaven, redeemed person. Or today will be a day that you look back with regret, where you rejected Jesus Christ, and you end up for a lost eternity, regretting today. But either way, you will remember today, and you will remember me standing up here, and you will remember me preaching this message, my friend. So make a decision and make your choice. Maybe we'll just close in prayer. Dear Lord God, we just thank you for the gospel, Lord. We thank you that it is a free gift, Lord, that this blind man didn't earn it, Lord, that the Lord Jesus Christ walked straight up to him and saw him in his need. And gave him, Lord, instructions to follow, Lord. We just do thank you, Lord, for salvation, Lord, is the same. Lord, that through something as simple as faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, that we can be saved and one for eternity, Lord. I just do pray if there's anybody here, Lord, who is uncomfortable, Lord. Anybody here who is aware of their sin and their need. Dear Lord, that you would just, Lord, that you would work in their hearts, Lord, that today would be a day of salvation for them. A day of great joy. Where they would see for the first time in their lives. Lord, let us do pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.